Well, we have a blessing in store for our listeners this morning. I hope they saw my Facebook post. We have Mr. Ron Dehaz. Hello, Mr. Ron.
Hello, Dr. Tina. It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you.
Well, he is the president and co-founder of Covenant Eyes. I've actually learned a lot about him through his assistant, Donald Lindsay. And Donald is a real gem. You have a real gem. I have enjoyed
oh, I love
every
Donald.
Conversation.
I don't know what I would do without Donald.
Well, we so appreciate your time, and we know that your son just got married last week, and here you're making time with family and friends still in town.
I'm happy to do it, yes.
Well, for our listeners, our main goal of today is actually the first of a three-part series on pornography. Today, we're going to establish what is pornography and how it's widespread and destructive for individuals and families. And then our second show, we're actually going to have a witness to the devastating effects of pornography. And that is on June 28. Then on August 1st, Mr. Ron Dehaz, I just love to say your name, will be back with us on August 1st to talk about freedom through pornography addiction. We're going to be ending on the freedom that Jesus Christ gives us. So help our listeners get to know you, Mr. Ron. We're delighted you've made the time to be with us this morning. To start off, help our listeners know about you. Tell us about you, your family, and how you got to know the Lord Jesus.
Oh, I'd be happy to. I could certainly talk for a long time, more than a half hour on that subject, but I'll keep it brief. But to begin with, that idea that you just mentioned about victory, that's has been pretty clear in my life, and I'll tell you why. I was in college for 11 years, and by the time I was 30, I had never heard clearly the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I kind of think of that as shame on us Christians for not being more outspoken, and so I've always been pretty dedicated to proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. Since I learned of it. And when I was 30, I met my wife-to-be. She led me to the Lord. I'm a geologist. We met on an oil rig, which is kind of a comical place to meet your wife. She was an engineer working for the company Schlumberger. And we got married. She led me to the Lord. We got married, and we were married for nearly 10 years when she and my two children, age 7 and 4, were all killed in a car accident. And, you know, that certainly was a human tragedy. There's no doubt about that. There's little that could be worse than that. I do have a journal. If you go to covenanteyes.com and in the search box type in my name, Ron Dehaz, and the word journal, it'll bring you my journal. It's an amazing time in my life. It really is as much of a tragedy as it was. It was a time when God brought himself closer to me than he ever had before or since. My pastor at the time actually said you could almost see God's footprints in the carpet. His presence was so real. God just wrapped his arms around me, and it was an amazing time. Then a year later, I met a woman who already had three children. We were married, and then we had another child who's now 22 years old. And God has given me yet another perfect family. And I look back on that time when I lost my family as the time that God drew himself closer to me than ever than he had before or since. And I think from a divine perspective, you could almost say that was maybe the best time of my life because of that sense of God's presence. And so when we talk about this issue of pornography, and I guess I should finish that story. In the year 2000, with two teenage sons, I recognized the danger of pornography on the Internet. And so I had a friend who was able to program to write a software program that could actually monitor and provide accountability on the Internet. And so we did that. We started Covenant Eyes in the year 2000, and it has grown since. Now we have 250,000 users in 150 countries around the world. It is a great program, providing both accountability and filtering. But when I talk about that sense of victory that I had through those years, there was hope. There really was redemption, and there was victory through Jesus Christ and through what God did in my life. What more tragic thing could happen than to have that Job experience of losing everything, and then to turn around and be redeemed? Pornography, those who are involved in the issue of pornography, or have a spouse who's involved in pornography, or a friend, there is hope. The best hope is in Jesus Christ.
Absolutely. Well, we have a lot in common. I lost my parents. Our listeners know my story, that I lost my parents in October of 2005 to murder.
Oh, my, yes.
So one day Mom and Pop are here, and the next day I get the call that they're not. But as you've talked, Ron, I mean, when you talk about the presence of God in that tragedy, very much felt the presence. And it opened up the door for him to become so much more real to me, that when I would read words in the Bible, you know, they're just black and white words, but Scripture really became alive and became my nourishment, became my sustenance. It became my life, and it helped me to have a better understanding, a more biblical understanding of who God is and how much He loves us and this plan that He has for us, and how the way we see with our earthly eyes just does not compare to the truth and to the way God sees, with His heavenly, eternal perspective. Mm-hmm. And my relationship, as you shared, your relationship with God just became so much more deeper, more intimate, and that's exactly what happened, and how He then used that experience to allow me to go forth to share the gospel message of Jesus Christ, to proclaim it, and to proclaim it in such a way that people know how to live with Christ daily, moment by moment. And we often have categories for our life. And so in my experience through the research of this book that I'll talk about in a minute, and people, Christians will categorize that. Oh, that's my private life. When I look at those images on the website or in the magazines, that's my private life. And no, as Christians, biblical Christians who truly know the Word of God and live the Word of God, that is sin. And one of the opportunities that I've had is to interview over 1,100 women for a book called The Christian Women's Survival Guide, helping people understand how to live victoriously through life's greatest struggle. What these women have shared is that their first greatest struggle is secrets, and secrets involve child sexual abuse, rape, sex or human trafficking, domestic violence, and pornography. And for our listeners, we are going to be talking about the addiction to pornography, to make sure we're all on the same page, because there's even been controversy among Christians about, you know, what really is pornography? Where is that line? Establish for us, Mr. Ron, what is pornography?
Oh, Dr. Tina, that is a great question, and it is an important question, because we have had to deal with that. Of course, we categorize websites at Covenant Eyes, and so we have had to come up with a good, solid definition that we use as a working definition. I'll begin by maybe talking about what the world sees as pornography, and then what we consider pornography. I'll be referring to a book called The Porn Phenomenon, that is a study that we commissioned with the Barna Group, along with Josh McDowell, to actually survey people on pornography, its use and attitudes toward pornography. It was published last year, so it's pretty up-to-date information. And what they found was, interestingly, that what people consider, the world at large considers to be definitely pornography, only 58% of young adults, 18 to 24, consider an image of a sexual act that's not intercourse as pornography. And so, you know, you can imagine what a sexual act that's not intercourse would be. It can still be very provocative and certainly what I would consider to be pornography. And so over and over again, the world doesn't necessarily, when you ask the question, you know, how often do you view pornography, that it depends on what your definition of pornography is, which is why that's an important question. What we consider at Covenant Eyes not to be pornography would be those things that a sex addict would call porn substitutes. There's even a nickname for it, P-subs, porn substitutes. Those things that after you're addicted can trigger a response that brings to memory pornography. I've heard of things as innocuous as leather purses acting as P-subs. And so those things, which might even include, for instance, a woman in a scanty bathing suit. At Covenant Eyes, we don't consider that pornography, although clearly it could be a porn substitute for someone who has an issue with pornography or has had an issue with pornography. And so here's the definition that we use at Covenant Eyes. Pornography is any media depicting explicit sexual activity or organs intended to evoke erotic response. And so each one of those phrases, we vetted this entire definition. Any media depicting explicit sexual activity or organs intended to evoke erotic response. And that is our definition.
Yeah. Well, now that we're all on the same page about what we mean by pornography, is pornography a problem? Why or why not? And how widespread is pornography?
I believe that pornography is the greatest issue facing the church in this century. It is affecting relationships at every level. It's affecting relationships in your ministry. When a person has a secret life, it impedes their relationships in every aspect of their life. It impedes their ministry to be able to conduct ministry, whether lay ministry or professional ministry in the church. It affects your relationship at work. It affects your relationship in your family with your spouse and your children and so on. It affects your relationship with yourself and certainly affects your relationship with God. So I believe it really is the greatest issue that's facing our culture today. Pornography and sex trafficking are a national health crisis in this country. There are actually 16 states in the United States that have either passed or have legislation in front of them to proclaim that pornography and sex trafficking is a national health crisis. There was a great article in April of last year in Time magazine that talked about the fact that there has been a drastic increase, and this one group of statistics will, I think, answer your question, how widespread is it? In the 1940s, the Kinsey study found that around 1 to 2% of men aged 18 to 30 have erectile dysfunction. In the 1990s, there was a study published in the Journal of the American Medical Association that showed that that number had increased to around 7%. But since 2013, there have been a number of peer-reviewed studies since 2013 that have shown that that erectile dysfunction is an issue for upwards of 30% of men 18 to 30, upwards of 30%. And so there's even a name for it, porn-induced erectile dysfunction. And you can read about that in that April issue of Time magazine, where these men are talking about the fact that, hey, I don't have any problem when I'm looking at porn, but when I go to my wife or girlfriend, all of a sudden I can't perform.
Yes. Oh, those are pretty powerful statistics, and so it just hurts my heart to hear it.
What's the effect going to be on our culture, on our civilization, if men are now having sex virtually rather than with real women? Obviously, procreation is an issue here.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And God calls us to procreate.
Amen. Yes.
Well, hopefully, hearing those statistics and our definition of pornography, Christians would agree that it's a problem. But unfortunately, that's not always the case. Please speak to the issue of failing to identify this real problem, present even within the church.
Mm. It really is an issue that more and more younger people are not really even seeing it as a problem, and that's unfortunate. The younger people, particularly age 18 to 24, when in this Barna study that was published last year, the question was asked: is porn good or bad for society? And young adults aged 18 to 24, only 31% said that it was bad, or at least somewhat bad for society, which means that 69% think it's either good or they don't really have an opinion about it. And when you look at the division by faith, it is true that practicing Christians, professing Christians, do say that pornography is bad at a higher rate than the general population. 77% of practicing Christians of all ages said that pornography was at least somewhat bad, when all others of all ages, 37%, said that it was bad. So, you know, that's encouraging to see that Christians think it's bad, because it is obviously a sin. But nevertheless, 23% of Christians of all ages, and when you get into the 18 to 24 range, it's closer to only 50% think that pornography is bad. And so that's kind of frightening to think that that now, you know, it's a problem. Christians do seek out pornography at a rate of upwards of 50% for men, about half that for women. Women typically have about half, whatever the rate is for men. You can generally divide it by about two. And so women seeking out pornography, a quarter of Christian women seeking out pornography, half of Christian men at least seeking out pornography at least once a month. It's a frightening problem.
And it really goes to the fact they don't know what God's word says, and they're not seeing that as sin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Psalm 32, one of my favorite verses regarding this issue is Psalm 32:3. When I kept silent about my sin, my body wasted away through my groaning all day long. And that's what happened.
Well, what words would you say to pastors who are listening right now, and how to approach this topic of pornography with their congregation?
Oh, my. I'm maybe ashamed to say that only 7%, again, this Barna study showed 7% of churches, only 7% of churches have any program whatsoever to deal with this issue. And yet, during this Barna study, we did a study of Covenant Eyes users who have used Covenant Eyes for a long time. And one thing that clearly stood out was that accountable families, those who really take accountability seriously, and who take the spiritual formation of their family seriously, they are successful in passing their values on to the next generation. And so what I would tell the churches is that we need to wake up to begin with. You know, we need a wake-up church movement in which churches establish a community. And this is one thing I've heard over and over and over again from people who have come out of pornography, this issue, is that there always is, when people are successful in coming out of pornography and sex addiction, there always is some type of community around them that has helped them through this issue. Rarely, I can't say it can't happen. Of course, God can do anything. But rarely is it just a person doing it on his own. You need somebody. So my urging, I would beseech churches to establish a community within your body that addresses this issue of some kind. There are a lot of good resources out there. I'd like to offer anyone to contact me through Covenant Eyes, and I would be glad to share resources on how to do this, how to establish a community. In fact, I think if you go to covenanteyes.com/communities, we have resources available for this. We need to find champions, for one thing. You know, usually the pastor is busy. It probably won't be the pastor, but find somebody in your church who can be a champion for this issue. And pastors have influence over their people. And when a pastor comes to someone and says, "You know, I know you've had this issue of pornography. Would you be willing to share this with others and bring it out of hiding and maybe even lead?" 2 Corinthians 7:10, have a zeal against the sin so that you can lead a community in our body to combat this terrible issue. That's what I would say to pastors.
That's wonderful. Well, the church that I attend is Fellowship Bible Church in Jackson, Tennessee, and our pastor talks about pornography from the pulpit.
That's great.
I know that there's many that do not, but we then don't have that program to deal with this issue.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things that the Lord has brought forth from my tragedy of my parents being murdered is a Bible study called Hope Beyond Loss, and I offer it every spring at our church. We open it up to the community, and I've had many people within that support group come and share about pornography and the devastating effects and have said, "We need something at this church to help us walk forth in victory." And, you know, you have that for alcoholics, you have that for drug addicts. We need that for pornography. Those Christians who are willing to take off the mask, be real and vulnerable that this is a struggle, and partner with others to help walk through this curriculum that takes them daily, moment by moment, walking in victory. Well, what would you say to women or men who are listening right now as the one struggling with the pornography addiction, or perhaps it's the spouse of the one struggling with the addiction? What words would you say to them?
The one struggling with this addiction, the women struggling with this addiction, that verse, Psalm 32:3, when I kept silent about my sin, my body wasted away. And first of all, you need to find somebody to talk to, whether it be a husband or a pastor or somebody. You do need to find somebody to talk to. And once you do, once this comes out in the open, that's the first step. And then the next step is to, after confession, you need to gain accountability. And really, there's nothing like Covenant Eyes. You put Covenant Eyes on your computer, and it provides that sense of accountability. Someone's looking over my shoulder. And so those are two essential things. But to recognize that there is hope, that this can be overcome. medical studies have shown that whatever the physical effects are of pornography addiction, those can be reversed 100%. Now, that's not to say there won't be consequences, and that's not to say that all the images are going to be erased from your memory, but at least the physical effects, the dopamine and so on, can be totally reversed. And so there really is hope. But it takes a community. You have to find somebody to confide in. And then for the spouse, you asked also about the spouse of the one struggling with the addiction. And so when the husband, there are three things that happen to these women. Trust, breakdown in trust is the number one issue that's reported by wives of sex addicts. There's this breakdown of trust. Ah, I trusted him, and now I find that he's been using pornography all these years. And having sex with a virtual woman. And, of course, that leads then to the second issue that women have, and that's the self-esteem problem, that my husband's addicted and he's having sex with these women online. What's wrong with me? My self-esteem is influenced. And then the third thing that is also an important aspect of a marital relationship is the lack of intimacy. These men are now having problems with porn-induced erectile dysfunction, and they're no longer there, no longer, they find it easier to have sex online than to go through the trouble, if you will, of having sex with a real person. And so those three things combined, you know, it's understandable that the spouse is going through these, but I promise. In fact, last month, the month of May, on Covenant Eyes, we had a series of couples on our Facebook Live. If you go to CovenantEyes.com and Facebook.com/CovenantEyes, and you'll see a series of videos that have couples talking about how they came out of this struggle with success, and the way they did it every time was with a community. And in every time, every instance of the ones I interviewed, it was Christ and the church that provided that victory. There is hope.
Well, we're going to learn more about that hope in our next time together on June 28th. We will have a guest who will talk about the devastating effects that she's personally experienced through pornography addiction within her marriage, and then the devastating effects that it had to others. And Ron shared about how this is not just a two-person deal, that it has an effect on many people and on the work, and on the ministry, on relationships. And as you document just the breakdown in trust and self-esteem and lack of intimacy, I mean, I see that in this woman's story. So I encourage our listeners to come back and listen on June 28 as we talk more about that. But there is freedom through pornography. We've touched on some of that freedom that comes through Jesus Christ using this software program of Covenant Eyes. And I loved when I went to the website how there is so much helpful information there that, yes, we can contact Mr. Ron, but there's also articles and helpful information, even going to Facebook.com, to be able to see live testimony of these are people who are walking in victory. Now, when Mr. Ron comes back on August 1st, we're going to talk even more about that freedom through pornography addiction. Are there any final words you'd like to leave us with today?
One quick one is you got to tell your kids. When I was a kid, I was told over and over again, you don't touch heroin. That is deadly, and you don't touch it. We need to say that to our kids, but we need to use the word pornography. And the average age of introduction to pornography is 11 years old. You got to start young, and you have to give them the same message that I was given about heroin. Do not touch that stuff. It's deadly.
Well, I find that even with my daughter at her school, I have a 12-year-old and a 9-year-old. And my 12-year-old goes to a private school called Trinity Christian Academy. And even within those, that private school Christian, they have issues with it. And now with our access to these phones, and young girls and boys have these phones and sending pictures from the phone, and I mean, children being expelled for this, and just their whole future is damaged because they were not told, do not touch. They did not obey their parents if their parents did say, do not touch pornography.
Most of us know somebody in college, whether an RA or a student. Ask that person, how many guys in your dorm or in your circle look at pornography? And the answer that I find always is they all do. And so this is a pervasive problem.
Yes.
We have to tell our kids. We have to tell them. Stay, don't even look at that first picture. It's deadly.
Would you feel comfortable closing us out in prayer and praying specifically for our listeners who are...
I would indeed. Yeah. Father, this really is a serious issue that we're dealing with. It's an issue that's devastating our culture. It's devastating our church. And so as we recognize this issue as really a national health crisis, a church health crisis, we just turn to you knowing that you are the perfect doctor. You can cure all of these things. You can heal all. And, Father, I pray that the listeners who are struggling with this issue, either personally or have a spouse or a friend or relative who's struggling with this issue, that you would give them hope, that you would let them know you are our God and Savior. You love us. You will never forsake us. That you are also grieved over this sin, and that you would just teach us, give us wisdom in knowing how to deal specifically for each one of our listeners to deal with that issue as best can be done for that individual who we're praying for right now. So, Lord, lead us.